Now we move to 5B on the outline, placement in the Ordo Salutis. Union with Christ, as I hinted at earlier, has been variously placed. A surprising number of Reformed theologians have not considered it at all. That's option number one. They argue rightly that union with Christ is not simply a step in the application of redemption, but is in reality the central truth of the whole doctrine of salvation. And so it's not technically part of the Ordo Salutis. Well, that's true as far as it goes. But the problem with theologians is that they then never expound the doctrine directly. And our view of the Christian life is then seriously distorted. And you get the feeling that the whole section on soteriology is more a dissection of the work of the Holy Spirit, almost stripped of the centrality of Christ. Others place union with Christ, as we are doing in this course, at the beginning of the Ordo Salutis. The argument here is that it's the foundation of all, and so we commence with it, recognizing it's not properly one aspect of the Ordo Salutis, but it's foundational. And as we proceed through the other aspects, we remember always that they flow out of this first and great doctrine considered. Thirdly, still others place it at the end. John Murray is the most famous example here. Now, though Murray is successful by doing that in impressing us that union with Christ is not just another aspect of the Ordo Salutis, I personally find that approach to be rather anticlimactic, to go through the whole Ordo Salutis and suddenly the very end to address union with Christ. Everything is dependent upon it all the way through. It seems odd to me to consider that union at the end. Fourth, some have chosen to follow a more experiential order. And so they place the consideration of union with Christ either after treating the doctrine of faith or directly after justification. Now, the danger with that view is that by placing union with Christ in the middle of the Ordo Salutis, you do give the impression that it's just one aspect. The advantage is that it flows nicely with the experience. You're justified by faith, the experience of the believer, justified by faith, and you then enter into union with Christ in terms of your own consciousness. So it's more of an experiential order. Probably, in lecture form like this, I place union with Christ at the beginning for the reasons I've given. If I were to preach it, and when I preached the Ordo Salutis in Lord's Day 20, I did 29 sermons on that. Then I placed union with Christ. I believe I placed it right after justification. I did it more experientially and spent two sermons on it. But then explained. I mean, you can explain, of course, that you're not dealing just with one aspect here. Well, whatever we do, I think whatever approach is used, the important thing is that we don't ignore it completely. I think that's the worst mistake that Reformed theologians have made. And I would advocate placing it as much on the foreground as possible. Now, confessionally, there is one confession that treats union with Christ right at the very beginning of the Ordo Salutis, as I'm promoting, indicating its primacy. And that is, surprisingly, the Westminster Larger Confession. Rather, Westminster Larger Catechism, 1648. It begins a section on soteriology this way. What special benefits do the members of the invisible church enjoy by Christ? The members of the invisible church by Christ enjoy union and communion with Him in grace and in glory. That's precisely what I'm trying to say in this class. You see, that's a summary of all the benefits of salvation. They enjoy union and communion with Him in grace, takes care of everything in this life, and in glory, everything in the life to come. And then they proceed and say, what is that communion which the elect have with Christ? What is that union which the elect have with Christ? Answer, question 66, the union which the elect have with Christ is the work of God's grace, whereby they are spiritually and mystically, yet really and inseparably joined to Christ as their head and husband. And then it says, which is done in their effectual calling. And then they move into calling and all the other benefits, you see. So already in calling, that's established.
What catechism is this number?
This is question 65 and 66 of the Westminster Larger Catechism. Actually, you should also refer to questions 82 and 83 if you want to get the full picture of the Larger Catechism. The Shorter Catechism has a smaller reference, but it implies the same thing. Question 30, the Spirit unites us to Christ in our effectual calling. And in chapter 26, the main document, the Westminster Confession of Faith, paragraph 1 says, all saints that are united to Jesus Christ, their head, by His Spirit and by faith, have fellowship with Him in His grace, sufferings, death, resurrection, and glory. And being united to one another in love, they have communion in each other's gifts and graces. So, that adds a new dimension, seeing the union with Christ not only as a vertical relationship, but also seeing it as the foundation for our horizontal relationships with fellow believers in the communion of saints.